Y'all, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord again. I'm going to be honest with you. We lost our Easter service last year, remember that? In the church, we lost all the braised stuff and what have you. And I was talking to Pastor Debbie about a month ago, and we were saying we're going to be really traditional. We're going down Hosanna Palm Sunday, and she got away with it. She got hers. But a month ago, I was practicing and writing some stuff down and thinking about just jumping about shouting, "He is risen," all morning and doing all that stuff, and I'm jotting stuff down. And do you ever have one of those moments when you figure out slowly that God's saying something else to you? So I went to war with the Lord and I lost again. I had this whole thing planned out for today. I had it planned out, and the Lord dropped a song into my soul that I had not heard for years and years and years. So what kind of concerns me today about what I'm about to say is this. I believe what is going to be shared is specifically for one or two people today. Others will be blessed perhaps by what they hear. But I believe in preparation for Easter, God has deposited in me a kind of classic old gospel song, and I could not shake it. Every time I wanted to do my thing and prepare my thing, this song came. This word came, and the word of the line was this: "He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs." I believe that is the theme almost of the Easter message in many, many different ways. And that became, I discovered, a popular song in the 1970s. Way back then, I wasn't even born then. It's a wee fib. And it was basically set to the tune of Danny Boy. Danny Boy. Which comes from a melody that was published way back in the 18th century. Gospel artist Dotty Rambo wrote this song actually for her brother. He was ill in hospital. After reading the Bible to him and praying with him at his bedside, she asked him if he would commit his life to Jesus Christ. Now, his name was Eddie, and Eddie said God could never possibly accept him. Mm-hmm. He had a real sense, or Eddie had a real awareness that he was lost, that he was a sinner. But his sister Dottie told him how the Lord actually left the 99 sheep to go and look for the one that was lost. Amen. Praise God. And not long before he passed away, he in fact did make that decision and gave his life to Jesus. And that song that we will sing at the end was performed at his funeral. The line it starts off with is this, and I love this, and I'll try and keep myself together today. Because when we start to talk about grace, grace does something to the child of God, doesn't it? It gets us right in the heart. It says, "Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need." He looked beyond my faults is a song of amazing grace, and it takes inspiration, yes it does, from John Newton's famous hymn with the line, "Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise." So today, here we are, Easter Sunday, hallelujah, we're in church together, and we are celebrating so beautifully through worship today the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who we love and adore today. But this Easter, as every Easter has been, is the ultimate act of amazing grace. Yes, it is. Because I understand this, I'm your pastor here, but I am by far a perfect man. Not one of us in this room is perfect. The only one that I know to be perfect is Jesus. Jesus himself. But today I believe this. We can rejoice today in this room, in this sanctuary, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad today? Therefore, when we read that, we begin to understand that not one amongst us can be possibly even remotely close to being perfect. And we can rejoice today that our good God loves people who are flawed, who are imperfect, who are dented by the sin and the corruption of this world that we are called to live in today. In fact, Paul says these words again in Romans 5 verse 8, but God proves his own love for us, that while you and I were still sinners, he did what? He died for us. Amen. Praise God that he did so today. Dear ones, God knows that perfect people do not exist. We all fail. We come up short. We miss the mark. We're all guilty as we look at this story. But the good news, if not the good news, the absolutely great news is that God's love for me and God's love for you is so much bigger than our mistakes. God today still loves us in our imperfect condition. Praise God. See, grace. Grace is free. It's a free gift that can never be earned. It cannot be bought or purchased. It is a gift from God. And what does grace do for you and I today? It enables us to be saved and grow in grace and grow in faith. That definition might sound all good and well, but what does that look like in real life? Well, think of the story of Peter. On that Easter week, from Palm Sunday through to Easter Sunday, particularly Peter's denial of Jesus Christ. That denial is found in all four Gospels, and due to the details known only to Peter, this would have to have been Peter's story. Jesus had prophesied earlier that Peter would actually fail. Earlier that evening, Jesus spoke directly to him, repeating his name. Now, this is known as an epizeuxis in the Bible. It's found elsewhere in Scripture. An epizeuxis is the repeating of a word or phrase in immediate succession, normally within the same sentence. For instance, listen to this from Luke chapter 22. Simon. Simon, 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 behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Amen. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Notice especially Peter's bold confidence. Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And we know exactly what happened. His denials that came so suddenly and violently straight after almost these comments were made. I want us to quickly move in to verse 60 of that same scripture from chapter 22. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, and he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. This is a detail that only the Gospel of Luke provides. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now hear me today, since the recollection of this event had to come from Peter, we know here this means that Peter also looked at the Lord. And I thought, began to think about that. What silent message was conveyed in that brief moment of eye contact? What at that very moment went through Peter's mind? I would begin to think overwhelming regret, sorrow, shame, embarrassment, fear, and the list may go on. What was our Lord thinking about during that brief glance. And today, church, I am still staggered, stunned and overwhelmed with the knowledge of the Lord's great love for Peter and for humanity, the entire race today. I am staggered that he loves me so much, knowing my own life, knowing my own history. And I can only believe at that split second, at that very brief glance, at that moment in time, heading towards the cross, that he looked at Peter and he saw, yes, his faults and flaws, but he saw him and he loved him in his desperate condition, in his place of need. And we know the rest of Peter's story. From there on, things begin to alter and change. After the denials, immediately, he went out and he sobbed. And he wept bitterly. And I wonder if we can relate to that. Maybe dealing with our own disappointments. Maybe not being able to look back in his glorious goodness into his face. Our eyes have been down and all over the place. We've struggled to make contact with the Master because of our own shortcomings. The great thing is, no matter what you or I have done on this Easter Sunday, there is a way back to the faith. There's a way back through grace to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter didn't stay down for long, amen. He didn't stay down for long. You find him actually active on Resurrection Sunday. We find him preaching at Pentecost not too many days later. Peter goes on to be the great leader of the early church. He writes letters recorded in the New Testament. But listen to this. Listen to this verse of this song. Let's come back in here. If not for grace, my soul would be a wandering or drifting ship with no safe harbor from the angry waves. But listen, but Calvary's cross shines brightest through the darkest storms. And just in time, God's mercy rescued me. If we look at another character real quickly this morning here, the character of Paul. Paul is a living example of grace. Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the writer of half the New Testament, as we know, endurer of storms, endurer of shipwrecks, was not always the servant of Jesus he was to become or he became. You'll discover the very first time we meet Paul in the Bible, he's actually, we could say, participating in a murder. That is the stoning of Stephen. Stephen's crime that he had declared that Jesus is and was the Messiah. He is the first Christian martyr. And later Paul gets indictments to imprison any believers in Jesus that he can lay his hands on. But here's his story. One day, we find the man, Paul, on the road to Damascus. Why is he going there? He is going there to arrest Christians, believers found in that place. But all of a sudden, hallelujah, Jesus appeared to this man on the road, and a light from heaven appeared, and Jesus says, here it is again, epizeuxis, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? We know the story. This man is struck blind, and yet after a few days, a believer is sent to Paul to open his eyes and share the wonderful good news, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is only after this life-changing experience that Paul became the champion of the gospel that we know him to be and as today. You see, I want you to hear something today. I believe this is important right here. This man, this situation, God could have thrown the towel in on him. God could have given up on Paul. He could have taken Paul's life just as Paul had taken Stephen's life. Jesus could have left Paul imprisoned by his blindness just as Paul has seized and imprisoned believers. But grace, hallelujah. Graciously, Paul was allowed to live and see. In fact, God's grace regarding this man goes even further. Paul was called on to be the one to take the good news of Jesus Christ beyond Israel and to the nations of the world. He is empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead thousands and thousands of people to Jesus, to start churches through the nations of the world, to write letters that still inspire you and I today. I believe that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 1:13, 14. He says these words, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, but, hallelujah, but I received mercy. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord overflowed with me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I believe Paul is a living example of grace. By grace, he was saved from a life of hatred. By grace, he was set free to love mankind. By grace, he was given much more than a second chance. Paul was given an opportunity to make up for all the persecuting that he had done. I believe that's what grace is like. I believe grace is the theme of the Easter story. Grace is Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for mankind. But listen to this, and I believe this is the crux of the matter. You see, when we came to the Lord, he gave us all this abundant life. Amen. He gave us this life. What do we do with the life that he has given us? I'll tell you, many people do. Many people go out and they mess up that life. They go out and they screw up and they wreck the life that he has freely given them. And I want you to understand something today. God could have said, I give you life. And you go out and do what? We go out and we act selfishly with that life and with that opportunity we have been given to make a difference from the kingdom of God. In other words, we get out and do things, say things, engage in things that mess up the life that God has given us. And he could say at any moment, well, you know, I gave you an opportunity to be salt and light. I gave you an opportunity to love your neighbor, to do the things that I've called you to do. I'm just going to take that life back. I'm just going to take it back from you. Why? Because you know what? You don't deserve to have that life, that beautiful life that I have given you. You see, God gave each one of us a soul that was initially beautiful, but we go and we make a mess of it. Again, God could have said at any point, you've made a mess of your life. Live with it. You've made your bed, lie in it. You've messed up what I gave you by sinning and coming up short of the glory of God. Hey, you don't deserve to have that righteous soul. But instead, God said, here is a new life. Here is a new life. Instead of denying us the righteousness we need, Jesus says, hi, hallelujah, here is my righteousness. You can have it. And we say, praise God that he has given us that. Then he died on a cross for my sins. He died on the cross for your sins. We did not deserve it. We did not deserve this kind of grace. We had made a mess of what God had given us before. But again, he says, guys, I have something fresh and new on offer for you. It's a new mind. It's a new heart. It is a new beginning. And ultimately, that is grace. And that is what the cross, the theme of the cross for you and I today is all about. Listen to the third verse of this song, because time's escaped us today. My faults were great. Wow. I'd wandered so far away in sin, but his loving heart knew just where I'd been. I cried aloud and Jesus heard my humble plea. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he is a living example, or was a living example of grace. John Newton was the captain, as we know, of the slave ships. A lot of people still today are not aware of the horrors that took place on those slave ships, the slave trade. The crossing from Africa was perhaps the most deadly part of that particular trade. The newly enslaved Africans were treated nothing more like fresh meat or cargo on a ship. They were packed in so closely as possible that many of those people died and were unceremoniously thrown overboard. The shipping companies of those days considered those acceptable losses. When John Newton realized, listen to this, Listen to this closely today. When John Newton realized his sin, it was only then that he saw himself as he really was. Maybe we need to hear that. He was a man with blood, the blood of thousands on his hands. He lived in an age when many had the same blood stains on their hands. But by grace, God saw him. He saw him in his faults. He saw him in his needs. He had grace for this man. He forgave him. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, John Newton, through his many sins and atrocities, was washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, did he deserve it? No. He didn't deserve it, but God gave it to him by forgiveness, by grace. And in praise to God, he wrote the song. We all know it. We've sung it 1,000 times. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Look, church today, God's grace is amazing. It's not just grace, it is amazing grace. It took a wretch like John Newton and used him to write a song that inspires many still today. It took a murderer like Paul and used him to lead a world of sinners to salvation. It took a denier like Peter who stood up boldly on Pentecost and declared everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it has taken us today, sinners, we don't like being called wretches, sinners and wretches that we are, and given us a new life. The chorus of the song reads like this: I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous that grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Church today, God knows everything that's taking place in our lives, including our motives, yes, our deepest inner thoughts. The Bible is clear in Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I wonder if that worries some of us today. I wonder if that concerns some of us, because perhaps it should. Perhaps it should, because it reminds us that we can't hide from God or deceive him into thinking somehow that we're better than we really are. Even if we're decent and good as we can possibly live or possibly be, we're still guilty before God. We're still guilty. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the fact that God knows all about you and I ought to bring you and I today great hope. Because even though he knows everything about you, he still loves you. Still loves you. In spite of our sin, he still loves us. He loves us today so much that he sent Jesus, his only begotten son, into this world to become the final sacrifice for our sins. Would you stand with me today? And just close your eyes. Try and close yourself down to hear those closing words. In response to all of this, I would say maybe some need to turn to Jesus in a deeper way and trust him. And it's not for our own goodness, but for your salvation. Then ask him to fill your mind and heart with his truth, with his love for others. The Lord deposited Psalm 139, and I believe it's a prayer that we must pray more often than not. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Church, we who have placed our trust in Christ, we also have a story. No matter our background or the depth of our sin, we all cry out, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. So in response to this, maybe recently you have felt that telling glance and you've not been able to look back into his eyes for shame, for guilt, you know today amongst us are looking online, your life is not where it should be. You're not living for the Lord the way you should be living for Him. Your walk with Jesus is not where it should be. But let me tell you something. His look this Easter Sunday, it is not one of condemnation. It is not one of judgment. But it is one of love. He sees you in your condition. In spite of our sins, He still loves us. I want to encourage you as we sing this song. Peter leads in this song. Choose now, choose Jesus, choose the path of truth. Make sure before you leave this place, you can look into His eyes. That you don't shy away. You don't look down, you don't look to the left or right, but you look directly into His eyes. Because there is peace between you and the Master. He looks at you today. Doesn't judge you. Doesn't condemn you, but He woos you by the Spirit to Himself. He calls you back to Himself. And today, maybe whether looking in or here today, you need to respond at some level to this. Lord, things have not been as good. Things have not been right between us. We can't ask you to come and stand at the altar. Oh, we'd love to do that. But right where you are, or maybe at the cross afterwards, you need to take a knee. You need to humble yourself in His sight. Maybe there's something in your life you need to repent of today or ask God's forgiveness. When you do that, there's no criticism. There's no people looking at you and judging you and thinking, oh, look at them. No, all that matters is when He looks at you, what does He see? So we're going to sing this song today, Amazing Grace. And as we sing it, you wait before Him. Maybe just lift your hands to the Lord as a surrendered life today. Admit anything in your own life before Him that needs to be dealt with, and God will set you free right where you are today, so you can truly celebrate Easter in all its fullness.